Federal Parliament rises today and won't be back until the Treasurer, Joe Hockey, stands to hand down his second budget in May. The Abbott government's dramatically revised approach to budget repair has caused some concern amongst business leaders who fear the Coalition is dropping the ball when it comes to return to surplus. And before MPs head back to their electorates tonight, debate could commence also on another bill. David Lionhelm, the crossbencher, his marriage equality bill. Assistant Treasurer Josh Frydenberg joins us in our Parliament House studios. Josh Frydenberg, welcome to breakfast.
Nice to be with you, Fran.
Minister, I'll get to the budget in the moment, but the budget for the Royal Flying Doctor Service, we're just hearing there, they're concerned their funding agreement ends on the 30th of July. Can you guarantee the Flying Doctor Services won't be cut back and, in fact, their four-year funding deal may be improved because the range of services they're needing to provide are so urgently needed, as this report shows?
Well, look, the Royal Flying Doctor Service is a vitally important service, particularly in regional Australia. It does a wonderful job. The Coalition has consistently, through the years, supported it. I don't think that will change. I would leave, you know, specific announcements to the relevant minister, but we're certainly going to continue to support strongly all such essential services.
Okay, so there won't be a cutback for the Royal Flying Doctor.
Well, I'll leave that to the relevant minister to make those comments.
All right, let's talk about your relevant ministries. And the Prime Minister is promising a dull and routine budget. That's the quote. He's seemingly content with debt running at 50 to 60% of GDP in a few decades' time. He doesn't love the idea, but he says it's not doing too bad if you look at the rest of the world. Have you given up on fixing the budget? Has it all become too tough for you?
Well, we certainly haven't given up. And to put the Prime Minister's words in the right context, he did say 50 to 60% debt to GDP is too high. But given we inherited a trajectory of debt and deficit heading to 122% of GDP, which was the Greek-like proportions the Prime Minister talked about, we have halved, just through our legislated measures, we have halved that trajectory. So now we are heading towards 50, just above 50% of net debt to GDP. But it's still not good enough. We've got a long way to go. I think what the Prime Minister is alluding to is the experience of last year's budget, where we tried to do a lot, Fran. It was a bit of shock and awe. Clearly, we hit some obstacles in the Senate, but we also got over three quarters of our budget measures already through the Parliament.
Yeah, okay. So you tried to do too much. So you're going to pull it back. It's going to be dull. It's going to be boring. Business doesn't like what they're hearing. Tony Shepherd, who was the head of the government's own head of your National Commission of Audit, said much more work needs to be done. Doing nothing will be a disaster for the country. Morris Newman, who's the chairman of the Australian Stock Exchange, says we could lose our AAA rating in Australia if there is no action. Well, they're worried by what they're hearing from you.
Well, both are very valued advisors to the government. Tony Shepherd did an important report, the Commission of Audit, which we are implementing a number of its recommendations. Morris Newman chairs the Prime Minister's Business Advisory Council and is doing an important job there. I mean, we inherited real spending growth at 3.7% per annum. Now, we have reduced that to 1%. So that's a big achievement so far. We've still got around $30 billion worth of savings measures that are stuck in the Senate, including $5 billion worth of savings measures that Labor took to the last election, Fran, and are refusing to pass.
And a whole lot of savings measures that you couldn't get through the Senate.
Correct.
Now, I know you blame the crossbenchers, but a lot of people also blame the government's, A, the overambitious budget, and two, the government's capacity to negotiate.
Well,
have you failed as a negotiating government?
No, I mean, just the other week we got through a $1.3 billion change to the R&D tax concession with the support of the crossbenchers. Labor had took a similar proposal to the last election but refused to support it.
So that's small fry, though, compared to your Medicare co-payment and university deregulation.
Well, there are lots of other issues around family tax benefits, PBS co-payments, other higher education changes. I mean, we've got really important savings there stuck in the Senate. We call on the Labor Party to do the responsible thing and to help us pay back their own debt.
Can I ask you about another issue, the China-Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank? We know Cabinet's been considering this. There's varied reports. Some say Cabinet's decided to participate. Others say that decision's not made yet. Can you confirm to us whether the Prime Minister has spoken with the US President Barack Obama to advise him that Australia will be signing up?
Look, I can't, you know, confirm or deny that. The Prime Minister has said to the Parliament yesterday that appropriate announcements will be made. But it has to be said, we are working very closely with our friends in China on how we can boost infrastructure investment and other forms of investment in the region. We already have the World Bank. We already have the Asian Development Bank and other international organisations.
And that's the point the Prime Minister made yesterday. We already have these banks. Does that mean he doesn't think we need the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank? He didn't used to think we do,
well,
but has he changed his mind? That's what we're trying to understand.
Yeah, no, I'll leave formal announcements to the Prime Minister, other than to say when countries band together to support infrastructure projects and the like in the region, Australia wants to be at the table.
It's 19 past eight on Breakfast. Our guest is the Assistant Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. Minister, Parliament rises tonight until the budget. Before it does, debate should start. We're expecting it to start on David Lionhelm's Freedom to Marry Bill, which is a same-sex marriage bill. Will the Prime Minister make good on the commitment he made before the election that the question of a conscience vote, a free vote, will be put to the Liberal Party room when a same-sex marriage bill comes into the Parliament? We're having one come into the Parliament now. Any sign of a free vote within your party room?
Well, Fran, we haven't had that debate in the party room about a conscience vote, and my strong view is that we should have a conscience vote. I accept that there is very passionate views on both sides of this argument, but I also see that community attitudes are changing, and I've been moved by a lot of personal stories by people coming to see me in my electorate, some gay, some people who are not. But if you look around the world, Fran, there are more than 17 countries now that accept gay marriage, including a number of comparable countries to Australia, namely Canada, New Zealand, also the United Kingdom, as well as a number of states in the United States. I think people come to the table on this issue with different religious positions, different moral positions, different ethical positions. That's why I think they should be allowed to express a conscience vote. And if we are, then many people will probably express a view in favour of gay marriage.
So it sounds like if there is a free vote, you will express a view in favour of gay marriage.
Well, I'll wait, you know, to articulate my position once the party room has made that first step in favour of a conscience vote.
But are you now calling for a free vote in the Liberal Party room?
Yeah, absolutely. I do support a conscience vote. I've been consistent and public on that matter.
And have you made that call within your party room? Why hasn't it happened yet?
Well, we haven't had
Prime Minister did promise.
Because, as you know, David Lionhelm's bill is coming up under private members' business. That involves extensive debate as long as there are speakers on the list, and it's not yet clear that his bill will make its way to the lower house.
Is that any reason why the Liberal Party shouldn't make a decision on this yet?
Well,
just to have a free vote? We're not asking you to support it, just saying, hey, will you allow a free vote?
Well, Fran, I think the point is, the party room discusses these issues when there's legislation before it, and I think a lot of people would like to see the nature of that legislation before making a final decision.
And just before I leave this issue, Australian Marriage Equality, which is a group trying to organise this this change across the nation, says, it was reported this week, says 11 Liberal Party MPs have changed their minds since January. They're in contact with you all the time, I imagine. These people who were previously opposed or undecided about gay marriage now support it. Is there a shift underway in the Liberal Party room on this issue? Have you picked that up?
I think there is. I can't put my finger on what the numbers would actually be because I haven't had those discussions with my colleagues, but prominent Liberals like Jeff Kennett and Nick Greiner and Malcolm Turnbull and others have made their views known on this issue. As I said, I think community attitudes within Australia are shifting, and I think certainly we've seen a dramatic shift internationally. And if you look at the history of movements like this, I think we could predict that in some years' time, whether it's just a few years' time or whether it's a number of years' time, gay marriage, I think, will be part of the way of life here in Australia.
Josh Frydenberg, thank you very much for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Fran.
Josh Frydenberg is the Assistant Treasurer.